Radio Prague News.
Andrej Babiš's minority government agreed in a meeting on Wednesday morning to resign after it failed to get backing a day earlier in a confidence vote. The film Baba z ledu or Ice Mother by Bohdan Slama has received 15 nominations for this year's Czech Lion Domestic Movie Awards. And the D1 motorway from Brno to Prague was reopened on Wednesday morning after being blocked for 19 hours due to multiple car crashes. The country's minority government led by Prime Minister Andrej Babiš agreed in a meeting on Wednesday morning to resign after it failed to get backing a day earlier in a confidence vote. All 78 ANO party members voted in favour, but the government did not attract a single vote from any other party in the Chamber of Deputies. 117 MPs voted against. The Prime Minister will now request a meeting with the President, who has promised to give him a second chance at forming a new government. The current one will hold power until its replacement is named. The film Baba z ledu or Ice Mother by Bohdan Slama has received 15 nominations for this year's Czech Lion Domestic Movie Awards. The romantic comedy describing relations between three generations in one family was shot in a Czech-Slovak-French co-production. Postrniští bos or Barefoot by Jan Svirák has 13 nominations, followed by David Mrnka's Milada with 10 nominations. The Czech Lion Awards are voted on by the Czech Film and Television Academy. The event will take place at Prague's Rudolfinum on the 10th of March. The D1 motorway from Brno to Prague was reopened on Wednesday morning after being blocked for 19 hours due to multiple car crashes caused by heavy snowfall. The main route that links Prague with the east of the country was blocked in both directions on Tuesday following dozens of car crashes, including trucks. 10 people were injured. Police in the South Moravian region responded to nearly 200 car crashes until Tuesday midnight. Drifts have also blocked traffic on side roads. The High Court in Olomouc dropped charges against the former head of the Energy Regulatory Office, Alena Vitásková, in the case of the fraudulent issuing of licenses for solar power plants. According to the judge, there was not enough evidence that would prove Vitásková's guilt. The regional court in Brno previously found Vitásková guilty of assisting in the fraudulent issuing of license, handing her an 8.5-year sentence. According to the verdict, she prevented investigation into the matter, enabling those involved to meet a deadline for substantially higher subsidy payments. Czech writer Jaroslav Rudiš is set to receive the prestigious German literary award Preis der Literaturhäuser. The organizers highlighted Rudiš's ability to work with different literary genres. The 45-year-old writer who lives both in the Czech Republic and Germany will pick up the award, which comes with a check for €15,000, in March at the Leipzig Book Fair. The Czech Weather Office has warned against heavy snowfall and extremely high winds across the Czech Republic on Wednesday night and throughout Thursday. Up to 30 centimetres of fresh snow is expected to fall in the mountain regions of the Czech Republic. On Thursday, winds on high grounds could reach up to 125 kilometres an hour, the office says. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Thursday is expected to be partly cloudy with snowfall in higher altitudes and daytime highs ranging between 1 and 5 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, ANO are to hold a fresh round of talks on forming a government after losing a confidence vote in the lower house. The biggest Czech exporter, carmaker Škoda, announces record results. And later, the mismatch between what Czech employers need and the skills offered by the country's unemployed. All that's coming up in today's programme. The minority government of Andrej Babiš is set to resign following its failure to win a vote of confidence in the lower house of parliament. The ANO leader will still get another attempt to win support for a government. However, that will be under more intense pressure to hold meaningful talks with other parties that might result in a coalition. Jan Velinger has more.
My jsme hlavně projednali demisi, to znamená vláda.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš lost no time following the failed vote of confidence in his government on Wednesday morning. His cabinet of ANO party members and experts decided to resign. Babiš announced in the following press conference that he would present the resignation in person to the head of state, President Miloš Zeman, himself currently seeking support in the midst of an election battle to gain 5 more years in the post. The ANO leader is expected to make the trip to Prague Castle, the president's office, by the end of the week. The confidence vote itself left little room for equivocation and was hardly a surprise. In the end, Prime Minister Babiš gained just 78 votes, with 117 lawmakers against. Those in favor exactly equaled the number of ANO deputies in the chamber and fell well short of the 98 that would have been needed for the motion to pass. And the speeches from other party leaders echoed the frequent charge that Prime Minister Babiš had made no real attempts to widen his support since last October's election win and put together a stable coalition rather than a minority government based on tolerance or tepid support. Tomio Okamura, the head of Freedom and Democracy, slammed the Prime Minister for trying to go it alone.
Andrej Babiš a jeho program nevolilo více než 70% občanů.
More than 70% of Czechs did not vote for Andrej Babiš or his program, so it's unacceptable that he would govern alone and not share influence in the running of the state.
Critics charge that Babiš himself contributed to the impression of a half-hearted attempt to broaden support with past declarations that single-party government is much simpler and coalitions led to complications and infighting. He also defended his position, though, saying, after the election, no one really had wanted to deal.
All of those who are now saying we didn't try hard enough after the election forget that we were immediately and categorically rejected right away by almost everyone.
Mr. Babiš has been promised a second shot at forming a government by President Zeman and generous time for negotiations to take place with other leaders. The rules of the game will be significantly different the next time around. Firstly, in a surprise move, Zeman increased the pressure for Babiš to carry out meaningful negotiations with other parties by demanding that Mr. Babiš show proof of a majority in parliament this time, 101 votes in the 200-seat lower chamber, before a second government is named. The pressure on all leaders to do a deal avoiding early elections will no doubt be felt across the Czech political scene.
And that report was by Jan Wellinger. The Czech Republic's biggest manufacturing company, Škoda Auto, set new sales records in 2017, with demand strong across the world. Established models, as well as some of the latest rollouts, contributed to the soaring deliveries of the Czech cars. Chris Johnstone reports.
2017 began as it ended for the Czech Republic's biggest carmaker, Škoda Auto, with record sales in January and record sales again in the month of December. And the strong performance of the other 10 months added up to total sales of almost 1.21 million cars globally, up 6.6% on the previous year. The mid-range Octavia is still the best-selling model with almost 419,000 cars sold, but it's now probably showing its age. Sales of the top-of-the-range Superb were up almost 9% at just under 151,000 cars. And Škoda says its latest models are also selling well. The Kodiaq SUV already notched up sales of 100,000 in 2017, and the fellow SUV launched late last year, the Karoq, has sold 6,300. Geographically, the Mladá Boleslav-based carmaker saw strong sales across the world. China still comes in at number one market, with around 325,000 cars sold last year, up 2.5%. December's figures were just over 42,000 cars sold, a rise of almost 42% on the month the previous year. Germany remains the second biggest market, with the 2017 rise in sales almost twice as high at 4.9% and around 173,000 cars sold. And sales in Central Europe were up almost 18%. But will those main markets hold up in 2018? And can Škoda Auto keep meeting demand when it's already operating at near capacity? That's a question that was put to Erik Handel, the editor of the Czech auto industry news site Automakers.
The increase in Škoda sales fundamentally depends on the growth taking place on the Chinese auto market. China is the world's biggest single auto market for our domestic car producer. If Škoda Auto sees stronger demand on the Chinese market, then it should see growth as a whole.
Handel sees the Chinese car market growing in 2018 at around the same pace as last year, and that should translate into similar rising figures for the main Czech manufacturer. And with its ongoing investment, the auto expert has no concerns that Škoda Auto should be able to keep on boosting production and keeping pace with the rising demand.
Škoda Auto is massively investing in its production capacity. This year is no exception to that. So overall, we can expect another increase in the sales of its models.
There is one feature, though, that Handel also remarks upon, and that's the fact that Škoda, or perhaps parent company Volkswagen, is steering the Czech manufacturer more and more into the sports utility vehicle market, with both of its latest launches coming in that segment of fairly high-priced cars. Although the initial figures appear positive, the final conclusions of that bet still have to be called.
Now, the jobless rate is extremely low here in the Czech Republic. However, that isn't good news for everyone, with many employers struggling to make hires. Chris Johnstone has more on this issue now in this week's edition of Marketplace.
Jobs and skill shortages are a topic on the tongues of most Czech businessmen and women at the moment. The figures speak for themselves, almost as many job seekers as vacancies. But there is a clear mismatch between the skills offered by the jobless and the demands of the jobs on offer. Hayes is an international recruitment company that's been operating in the Czech Republic for 20 years, and it specialises in some of the specialist areas where the job shortage are at their most acute in the Czech Republic right now. Ladislav Kučera is managing director of the Czech branch, and he explained, first of all, how unique the situation on the Czech jobs market is right now.
At this moment, we are having something above 215,000 to 220,000 open jobs in Czech Republic. For the record, we have never had that since the Velvet Revolution, since the communist time where everybody had a job. So it's a very unique situation. It's a candidate-driven market at this moment. So we really switched after the recession. Actually, we switched, and the switch was very fast, which also was very unique, because from 2014 to 2017, we grew up by 150 plus thousand open jobs within 3 years. So that's really, really fast. So at this moment, we are in a situation where there's an active hunt from the employer point of view to the employees, actually. And it's not longer a matching system, job opening and a matching suitable candidates, but it's more of an candidate attraction.
So in that case, I mean, employers have to go out of their way to find the right people, or maybe just to find any people. I mean, maybe right they can't even get any more. I mean, how much pressure on them is to both boost wages and boost all the other incentives, benefits around?
Well, you ask it in the first question, I didn't answer. Actually, since 2017, 2016 was a slow pay rise, but 2017 was very significant throughout the segments, actually. There was no segment which we would say have stagnated a lot. Most of the wage rises that we have seen is 10% and above. When we are talking about personnel or about employees which are employed already and are changing the employers or are in the ways of thinking of, you know, making a change, and there we might be seeing even more than 15-20% of a wage rise from the current job to the potential future one. So that's really a very, again, big change to the market as we know it, and also to the candidate internal recognition itself. So the candidates start to be a little bit more flexible, and they are not so conservative as they used to be, because before it was like, I have a job, I have a security, this is good place, and there has to be a very interesting offer for me to consider. At this moment, candidates or somebody who would be willing and open to see themselves on the workplace, on the work market, are a little bit more bold, so to say, in order to open themselves for new opportunities, sometimes even not knowing what the opportunity is going to be.
That's, I suppose, that boldness is an expression of the whole market situation. They think they can, well, they're not even taking a risk, really. I mean, they can look around, test the market, see what's happening without any real fear of the consequences.
Yeah, exactly. As you said, this is, I mean, in some cases, that could be a market testing. It could be kind of, what is the appreciation in terms of a salary benefits and everything on the market of the jobs that I'm having so at this moment, and how I am graded actually in my with my current employer. So some of the cases, the candidates can use the market situation in order just to price themselves in the current position, which is not really happening a lot, but in some cases it is. But more often it's like, I have been in a job, the market condition is good, there's an offerings on the market, so let's try out where can I move myself.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at it from the employer's point of view. In many sectors of the Czech economy, there are shortages, and okay, there's unemployed people, but they often don't have the skills to match the jobs, which is one of the major problems. So how much of a problem is it, do you think, for the employers at the moment, and how much might they have to face in the year going forward, increasing wages, benefits, just to get new people or even to hold on to the people they've got?
Well, I would say it's a big challenge, but we have to divide it into two parts, actually. If we would take a short term, it's a very big problem. In the long run, it might be also a challenge, or it might be a good challenge for them to be innovative. Bring in automatization in some processes where the manpower would not longer be needed, or there would be nobody actually working on those positions that are really on the lower end of a pay raise. So there will be really a machine robot who will be taking a place of a person, and the human capital will actually increase a little bit. So, but in the short run, it's a really big problem, and especially because our economy, it's pretty much dependent. We are an export economy. So if the employer, being in the Czech Republic, is in the chain of suppliers and cannot supply a part of something which is being assembled with the final at the final destination, that might be a big challenge for employers actually, or investors which are sitting here in Czech Republic, and they have to be really flexible in the ways of how do I attract the right talent, because there is a shortage, and our political situation is not really pro-flexible, if I'm able to say that. So with the current kind of hysteria about the world of migration, which is nothing bad about this, but our politicians just used it for their political campaign and twisted it out into something which is totally nonsense. So at this moment, we are not really that much open for a talent, and I'm not saying unskilled labor, but for really talents in technologies, that could be an IT engineer, that could be a software developers, that could be anybody from a quality check to a process and program engineers coming into the country, which is fairly industrialized, and we don't have the talent. Simply and literally, if we go actually with the economy growth and with the businesses growing as they did so far, we don't have enough people actually to service those jobs in Czech Republic. And also, on the other hand, we don't have enough engineering degrees, and we don't have enough technical, actually skilled or technical educated candidates that would be able to fill all these open jobs.
Where do you see the problems at the moment as the most serious, and also looking forward, will they continue to be the problem areas?
Well, from our perspective, because we are dealing with the specialist recruitment, it would be technologies. I mean, it has been here for a while, but now it's actually really accelerating the need itself. So most, and this is everybody saying that, and I can only confirm, it's the IT, information technologies. Not really that we will be talking about big data or security, but development as a whole. Anything that has to do with coding, anything that has to do with programming, there is a huge shortage actually in the majority of the languages that are being coded. So that's the biggest shortage. And with the way of life that we are used to now, and it's changing, that everywhere around yourself, if you look around yourself, most of the things that we interact has a microchip in it, most of them. And if they don't have it, they will have it tomorrow. So, and there needs to be some kind of a code or some kind of a service level taken out from those microchips, and they kind of try to be an IO thing, so Internet of Things, making those fridges and toasters and something from a very dumb thing that you would operate to a smarter thing that could be kind of a self-operated and can predict. And but that has to be developed somewhere. That has to be, you know, the software has to be written somewhere. It has to be serviced from somewhere. And that's really, I see the gap actually increasing more and more. And all, the schooling system and the educational system actually, it's not really changing in a way as the fast change in the world of work at this moment that we are experiencing.
You mentioned automation. To how fast or how adequately fast is that coming in into some sectors? Because I read a while back that there was even a problem because there weren't the developers to develop the robots to replace the people in some of these jobs.
Yeah, it's connected, all connected. But I think that our situation in the Czech Republic could speed it up. So on contrary, it could have a positive effect in a ways of really having the automation coming in a bit faster than it was originally planned. Also, what we have to think into consideration that majority of the investments or of the employers in Czech Republic are not really having the Czech capital. So they have a mother headquarters and has been established from abroad. So we have to really kind of understand that we are not really in control, or, you know, in here, in locally, we are not really in control when this is going to happen, and it has to make somehow financially and economically, it has to make sense. But we can see it starting slowly but surely in the environments where we would not really think that would happen in the next or near 5 years. At this moment, if the investor is here to stay and the investment been big enough or has been profitable, the change, I would say that we will see within the next 2, 3, 5 years, we really have to see the change towards the automation, because the talent mismatch, even though that there might be a rise in unemployment, the talent mismatch is something that we will be battling as well as the Western part of Europe.
Final question. In what way do you think the overall relationship between employers and employees is likely to change in the next 3, 5, 10 years? It's probably going to be a lot more flexible, a whole more flexible system. You're not going to have one employer, maybe.
We as a HACE, we are in 33 countries, and we have run some kind of a questionnaire or studies where we ask the business leaders of various things, of how they see the future of their businesses or kind of a business environment in 20 plus years. One of the actually most common answers that came out in terms of relation employer-employees was that the organizations have to actually prepare themselves to be an organization of the future, meaning that they would have to be much more flexible in the ways how they actually employ or how they interact with a future know-how holders, in the ways, if you know what I'm saying. So in a ways, what we see, I could predict, maybe I'm wrong, but in 20 plus years, maybe there's going to be not really an employee-employer relations, but more of a freelancer working on a project for a certain brand or for a certain company that would actually have a project-based business. But again, I can see it much more faster in the Western part of the world, because in the Czech we are very rigid in the ways how we are used to do stuff. We are not really that much flexible into moving and following the jobs. We don't really do that. We are stuck in our own ground, and also in the ways of having jobs for unlimited period. This is something which is really popular here in Czech. Unlimited period, even though that, you know, it could everything end sometimes, but unlimited period is some kind of a buzzword. So we have to see for the next generations coming in out of the schools. So, and seeing the work-life balance being much more of a theme at this moment, that will come out in the point that really freelancing and being its own boss in the ways of supporting and servicing certain projects with my know-how and also learning through it would be something that we will see much more in place. But also, let me add this, in order to do that, we have to also have a very flexible legislations, which at this moment we don't have. And I think it's once again something that might slow us down a little bit in the years to come, because if you do not have the ground for it, you can't really evolve as fast as the market.
And Chris Johnstone was talking there to Ladislav Kučera, head of the Czech branch of recruitment company Hays. And Chris stays with us now because he has the latest part of our series, Hit of the Century.
Hit of the Century.
Now, in the 100-part series of songs which were recorded in the history of Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, we get to 1925 and the first fragrant flower of spring. By the mid-1930s, Czechoslovak theatre had had a long run of misfortune in regards to successful operetta production. There was, of course, Oskar Nedbal with his Polish blood and vintage. However, these operettas were taking place outside the Czech environment, written on the German libretto and premiered mainly in Vienna. This gradually began to change. The composer Rudolf Piskáček appeared. At the Prague Conservatory, this talented composer was the student of Antonín Dvořák's musical genre. Piskáček became a theatre director and composed more than 30 operettes. He tried unsuccessfully to found his own theatre in Česká Budějovice. However, he simply was not cut out for practical life. Eventually, he dedicated himself only to composing. His successful career ended with his premature death in 1940 at the age of 56. Piskáček was an excellent melodic, and many songs or even arias from his work still go through the minds of many who witness them. This is also the case of a loving song from the operetta Tulák. The main hero, enchanted by their wandering through nature, sings with satisfaction when the spring's first fragrant flower begins to bloom. This joy was transferred to listeners, and in 1925 it became a smash hit of the year. It's no wonder, for the coming of spring is positive for us to this day. It never changes. Do you feel it for yourself? So this is the version, Piskáček and Žebrák, and sung by Pavel Vítek.
Jako ptáček světem sem a tam, smutem bloudím bez cíle a sám. Přejdu hory, doly, vsi i města, tam, kam vede moje cesta, to já sotva znám. A tak toulám se už dlouhý čas. Dnes mám bídu, zítra nouzi zas. Věru kapsy moje jsou tak chudé, pomalu, že sotva zbude v nich na provaz. A přec ku podivu někdy zdá se mi, že jsem nejbohatším z lidí na zemi. Kdy z jara první voní květ se venku počne rozvíjet, každému štěstí na tváři hned zazáří. A vůně šeříků láká i ubohého tuláka, vždyť jako jiným též je přec ten má je květ. Šeříků láká i ubohého tuláka, vždyť jako jiným též je přec ten má je květ.
That was Chris Johnstone with another song in our series Hit of the Century. But that's all we have time for right now here on Radio Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and goodbye.